This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where we take unsolved true mysteries and cocktails and you put them together in a cocktail shaker, drink it, and pour it into your ears. That's the show. Hello. It's been a while since I've done an intro, so I'm
I don't know, I've heard you do it so often that even the tiniest little pause is so loaded. So yes. you went the show where, and it was imperceptible, but I knew in that pause you were going, what am I going to say this
What time? Am I going to say next? Oh, you know what's really funny? You totally nailed that, because that's exactly what happened. I just went, well, Masood, go for it. You know in The Simpsons when Homer's brain leaves his body and he goes, you're on your own, and then he just falls over? That's exactly what happens almost every time I do the intro, is that my brain just goes like, see ya, buddy. And I'm like, oh, shit. Good spot, Chris.
We've been doing this show a long time.
And that you're long enough to know, even, it's like, Masood looks cool, calm, and collected, but Jesus, the wheels must be spinning fast.
Brain is like scrambled egg.
I love the idea of, like, you know, like those old Superman cutaways, so you still see my head, but it's like that little cutaway inside my head, and it's just like crappy kind of scramble, like a rubber, looks like scrambled egg, but it's like rubber, and it's like bubbling away, and that's my brain.
Oh.
It comes back.
I don't like that imagery at all.
No, well, that's what's happening inside my head.
I hate your brain.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
I imagined, actually, you know when you said, oh, and you can see inside the head, and that I, for some reason, pictured like a little car, like a little miniature version of your living room with a little masseuse.
Streaming
in your head. Yeah.
I've never been in Masood's flat. I've only ever seen it
the corner
when
of my living room.
Sitting there on camera.
Yeah.
So in my head, it's that. And then if you swing the camera around, it's like it goes on forever and you see it like disappear off to a point. Like
it just keeps
going. Like in The Matrix where they say guns, lots of guns.
Yeah.
Just keep
Yes. Forever. That's what I think Masood's flat's like. And then way off in the distance, a baby is crying. And it's your baby.
Oh,
she's
my.
Two.
She's no longer a baby. How are we? Oh, of course, with me is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Yes, introduce us. Very good.
The amazing Chris Stokes.
Hello.
And I'm Masood. Hello. How are we, guys? What are we up to? How have we been?
All right.
Well.
Well.
All right. Had my hair cut properly. And it happens every time, but there's way more grey than I would like every time they cut it.
I mean, they're not putting it in, are they? They're not placing grey hair.
Yeah, imagine if they were, like, it's like a
selling
prank.
Them in. Yeah. This'll
it's
fuck
weird.
Them up.
I have a sort of, like...
You'll hate this.
Yeah, I kind of, like... It's strange in that I don't mind the greys, but that's when I'm not looking at them. When I notice them, and, like, it is a sign of ageing. So as soon as you see all of that stuff there, I'm like, fuck.
I think it looks
more
good.
Mortal.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's come in a good way. It's not like, because my greys are all here,
right.
And I cover them because they're in like one specific part of my head,
oh, so
and it just
whole,
looks like it just well, it's like
Rogue
one tiny bit
type.
Like there,
yeah, yeah.
And it kind of it looks like I'm going bald on that bit of my head if I don't cover the greys.
Could you imagine if we were talking about all of our grey hair while Keem and Bob was sat next to us?
My God, you're so 30.
You guys are so 30.
yes, we are.
Oh my God, who's that?
Holy
what
shit.
The hell?
Is that
in our bar?
Is that?
Yeah.
The fantastic.
That looks like Matt Heighton.
It looks an awful lot.
It does look
like
him, but it can't be. He doesn't go in bars.
No, it is me, actually.
It's the stock footage version of Matt Heighton.
Yeah. Yeah, it's me, but
the Adobe stock Matt Heighton.
Yeah.
Can I ask, right, Matt, what made you think that you were going to do something completely in stock footage? What was the first? What made you go, I'm going to try that all, it, but all in stock footage?
Yeah,
NCIS. I think maybe NCIS Miami, is it?
Okay.
Oh yes.
The intro is awful. It's absolutely awful. And I turned to my wife and went, I could make that out of stock footage tomorrow. And then I didn't have anything on the next day.
And she went, that's nice, Matt. You do that and I'll go off to work, shall I?
Yeah, exactly that. The amount of times in a week my wife works sometimes from like 9 in the morning till 9 in the evening and she's stressed. Mm. And I come in and go, I think I've just discovered a new way to make a noise. She's like,
great.
Go back to your little videos.
Are you cross with past, Matt? And because now you have to keep doing them. You have to keep thinking of new intros to do.
Yeah. No, I like him because he's given me purpose through lockdown. He's really redirected me. Past Matt was awful. He had no direction. Constantly wondering what he was going to do. Now, current Matt's like, I've got a day free. I'm going to have to go through the stock side.
You go like, I want to make that intro. Or do you have an intro? Like, what intro do you want to tackle next? That's what kind of like, how does that come to you?
Well, I was about to ask, like, because you know the X-Files is pretty much just stock footage. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much stock. Yeah. Anything post, I think about 2004 doesn't work anyway. Once Lost and the Sopranos come round, intros change. Lost is pretty much just a screensaver.
Yeah.
And, like,
right.
After that, you get like things like the Netflix style, which are just like a company making motion graphics. So there's a real sweet spot from the 80s, 90s, and just the early 2000s.
I see.
That's cool.
You know what would be a real challenge would be the Red Dwarf one. Or like picking a Red Dwarf series.
It's on my list. People keep requesting it. Yeah, series 3 I think I'd go for. Because Crichton did by that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
What can we get you to drink in our bar that you're in?
I mean, if you're making it, I'd really love a mojito, actually, guys.
Ooh, Masood makes a great mojito.
We haven't had a mojito on the show, have we?
We have not.
I don't think we have.
No.
Masood, have you not made us a mojito before?
No, I don't think I have.
2 years into a cocktail podcast and we've not had one of the classics.
I mean, I've had them in lockdown, but I don't think I've had one on the podcast.
No.
Oh.
They are fantastic. Yeah, well, Masood, what do you put in a mojito?
Rum.
This is Masood, who
actually,
is our cocktail expert.
I take it back. That was my favourite pause. In the letter M of that rum was a void. Just a huge void. Rum.
I made a mojito for like I said, oh, we could have mojitos. We've got white rum. We've got brown sugar. And Mum said, oh, and there's some mint. I know where there's some mint. And she went and got it, brought it in, and we were drinking them. I went, where was the mint? She went, it's outside the front door. And I went, dogs piss on that. She went, oh, it's fine. That's when, like, dogs walk outside, like, it's just growing randomly. I don't know why it's there. But, yeah, dogs walk past the front of our house and just do a piss.
I assume she washes it, though. Like, I don't think she did.
I think she just put it straight
She just
in.
Went, oh, it's fine.
Because the alcohol will wash it. That's what...
Yeah. Exactly. It sterilises it.
My colon will wash it.
Yeah.
That should be your spin-off podcast.
It's the podcast of this
where you do the behind the scenes chat. It's all about processing what's happened.
Maybe that's
the Mystery on the Rocks colon washed.
Yeah.
But do we put the colon, the actual colon, and then just the word wash?
I think you put Mystery on the Rocks and then a colon symbol and then the word colon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wash. Yeah.
It's all written in emojis and or just punctuation.
Mm.
Yes.
Really horrible to Google.
Yes.
The W is a series of //.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh. Did you ever, like, well, you'd be in, like, some weird chat room and somebody would draw a picture with all of the, like, slashes and brackets and that? It would usually
occasionally
be cocks,
people but... still do it on yeah it's always a dick.
Yeah, some people
occasionally
still
people still do it on
Twitter,
don't they? Yeah. And it's like the dancing guy, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he's
helicopter.
Made out of brackets and lights.
Always a good helicopter around.
Helicopter, yeah.
Or rufflecopter. I remember that was at one point that was quite good. Yeah. Oh, the old rock. We are so 30.
Here we are, aren't we? Hideous.
Sweet Jesus.
My first experience in a chat room was when I was 15. And I went in the chat room. And
this
I'd
sounds like the story is going to be, this is like on Dateline, the way you started.
My first experience, I was 15, too old to be in a chat room for the first time. I went in a chat room and I'd just seen Taxi Driver and I was obsessed with it. And I looked up Travis Bickle and there were like three different people who were called Travis Bickle. Oh. And I put a really obscure Taxi Driver quote in their private chat, all three of them. And the quote I used was, "Saw you coming, you fucker, you shit heel." And I put it in all three of their chat boxes thinking, this is going to be a great way to start a conversation about Scorsese films. And what happened was three different men went, "What the fuck is your problem?" And I was like, oh no, they're going to trace me.
Oh, bloody hell, not one of them replied with, "Are you talking to me?" What a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they did it by accent, that would still be pretty good. Like if this one,
wait, so are you talking to me? And it hasn't occurred to them what they've just told.
I'd love to see a version of Taxi Driver where Robert De Niro delivers his lines with that intonation.
Yeah. Are you talking to me?
Sorry. I'm the only one here. That's what you mean.
Quizzical taxi driver.
I don't see anyone else.
You must be talking to me.
Sure.
I wish a rain had just come down. Just wash it away.
Oh, clean all the scum off the streets, filthy buggers.
I saw you coming.
You shit heel. You fucker, you.
You.
You fucker, you shit heel.
A lot of the nights I clean the cum off the seat. Some nights I clean off the blood.
Clean off the blood?
Have you guys seen that video where it's Lord of the Rings but all the orcs have normal voices?
No.
It's pretty
really
much
funny.
That vibe. Yeah, they're just like, wow. What about them? They're fresh. Yeah, it's really, really good. Very good.
Well, Matt, here's a mojito. As you can see, it's just a big glass of rum.
Thank you. That's all I want. With the this mint smells a bit weird. Yeah.
Don't
question it. Don't question it. Anna Kempner says it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm drinking. This is equal parts raspberry absolute vodka, Frangelico, obviously Saint Germain, which is elderflower liqueur, and white tequila, and the brand I'm using is
Tequila Blanco
Olmeca Altos.
That was I
speak Spanish.
I imagine that's how they pronounce it at the factory.
That's what.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
I'm calling it an everything's coming up soos because you're in a good mood when you drink this.
Nice.
Shit. It's really nice. It shouldn't be because all those flavors together. Like, what are you thinking, soos? Which is what I thought when I poured it, but then I drank it and it's very nice.
It does
over
sound
ice.
Nice. Sounds really nice.
Sounds like you could chew it.
Ooh, yeah, like a fruit pastille.
Normally you start with like the base spirit, but Suze was like, so it's absolute raspberry vodka, Frangelico, which is hazelnut liqueur, elderflower liqueur, and then I was like, where is it going to go from here? Like topped up with soda or something? No, tequila.
No, tequila.
It's with a tequila mixer.
It's a spirit forward through and
everything's
through.
Everything's coming.
It's diluted but with tequila.
Yeah. It's just equal parts of each.
Genuine question. Does a cocktail have to have a mixer in order to not be like...
No.
No.
Can it be just alcohol?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've had a few of those, yeah.
In my house, we call it 12 o'clock.
Are you talking to me?
Hang on. I'm the only one here. You must be talking to me. Oh.
Surely you could just dub that with that voice. In fact, that's your next video.
Oh,
can I do it? Can I do it?
You should do a series called Quizzical Scorsese.
Can I do it in wine mum voice? Can I do Travis Bickle as a wine mum?
Yes.
Going, oh, day's going on and then one day a rainstorm's going to come along and wash away all the scum of the streets.
Because you just have to match it to the... to what he's like his mouth moving on screen.
But here is somebody who stood up. Here is...
Chris, what are you drinking?
I've almost finished it. It's called a love letter.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't have, Chris.
Trust me, I didn't.
That sounds like every love letter I've ever received, Chris. Trust me, I didn't.
So it's Campari, lime juice, Cointreau, maple syrup, grenadine, and a couple of dashes of bitters, and it's topped up with soda water, and it's amazing.
That sounds incredible.
It sounds great. Sounds really, because Campari's really nice. Quite a medicinal taste, but then if you add in maple syrup and grenadine, they're too sweet on their own.
And Cointreau.
Yeah.
And also, I was curious. So when I, because you shake it with the soda, and put it in a glass, and then you top it up with the soda. I had a sip before I put the soda in, and I was like, oh, it's nice, but oh, it's too sweet. It needs the soda. These cocktail inventors know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I'm amazing at this.
I'd say, yeah.
When I was a kid, I had a babysitter who was our neighbour. She's like 20 years older than my mum and dad, so like grandma age at the time. Yeah. And we found out years later, she used to babysit us because... Basically, what she'd do is she'd ask us at about 7 o'clock to make her a cocktail, and me and my brother about 8, so we didn't know how to make cocktails. So we did just get anything that was open and just pour it in.
Why didn't she specify? Yeah. Or just make it herself?
I don't think she was in it for the flavour. Like my mum said, they'd just come back at like 10 o'clock and she'd be like, like flat out on the sofa, and we'd just be watching Predator or something.
Like, yeah, you're putting her to bed. You're like, okay, night-night.
Right, just make me a cocktail. Yeah. And they're like, anything you'd like? Anything?
Like, okay.
I really like sour flavours, and I'm a real gin fan, so have you got any...
Her babysitting style was essentially the Michael Jordan cutout from Home Alone. It was just a deterrent seeing her in the window. Like, she had no use for being there.
Oh wow! You basically had a cardboard cutout on a train driving
that's
around.
Really
the
funny.
House.
Oh, that take. I think that Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern in the Home Alone movies are a couple.
Yeah, I quite like the idea. That works, that's a great little alternative.
I think they fell in love in prison, and they're just living their best lives.
Isn't there a Home Alone theory that is their purgatory, but you just see it from the wrong viewpoint?
Interesting.
So they're dead and this is their purgatory, and that's why they can take so like much that. punishment, but because we watch it from the view of Kevin McAllister, we don't pick up on it.
Well, and Kevin McAllister, it's been well documented that he should be dead. Just the bit where he sleds down the stairs, he should be fucking dead. Kill that kid. Kill him.
Wow. Films have a lot of time, don't they? There's a lot. They're like,
what did the family do to afford everything?
Like, oh, the dad works for Skynet.
I remember seeing there was a Cracked article about it. Yeah. They're like, what does he actually
he's
do?
He's really organized crime. He's Skynet.
Because they have a house with how many kids are there? 8 kids, is it?
Yeah. It's so many kids.
But also, it's like, are some of them visitors, or do they all live there? Because they're cousins as well as brothers and sisters.
Well,
maybe they're trafficking them. That's their
business. I think there's 4
kids. And that's how you can afford to be that. You could live in a mansion like that. Yeah. They get big money.
I used to think that maybe the dad had hired the burglars as an insurance scam.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's good sense.
Is this today's mystery? Are we trying to solve Home Alone?
Shit, we've got a mystery. Before we did that, though, Masood, what are you drinking?
Oh, I've got something called, I don't know if we've had this on the show, Devil's Whiskers?
No, I don't
remember. It sounds familiar, actually.
Gin. It's got gin, it's got dry vermouth, sweet vermouth, orange liqueur, orange juice, and orange bitters. It's quite nice.
Oh, a little splash of OJ.
Oh, yeah. It's quite nice.
OJ Simpson.
What do you have for us today? What is today's mystery?
Today's mystery is the Circleville Letters.
Ooh. Tell us about these letters, Chris.
I always thought it was really boring because I read the first line of it and I was like, I don't get it. It's just some letters that have been written, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But actually, when I finally read the whole thing, I was like, I like this one.
Yeah.
It's good. Starts in 1976 in Ohio.
OEO, it's pronounced OEO.
Circleville is a town in Ohio.
Circleville, Ohio. I mean, that sounds so ordinary.
It's better than those dweebs up in Squareville.
Squareville. Oh! Yeah. The people in Circleville drive up to Squareville and like throw cans at them. Yeah. Like,
Squareville guys. Or the only film you like is Three Men and a Baby.
That's right, Squares. Hey,
good film.
I hate those Circleville guys.
We got a Three Men and a Baby. I'm glad we got a reference to that classic in.
So, Circleville, Ohio.
Oh yeah, so in 1976, Circleville, Ohio, there was a bus driver named Mary Gillespie.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And she started receiving anonymous letters that were written in this weird sort of like script, like elongated. So imagine lined ruled paper.
Yeah.
They went over two lines and they were really long and thin in capital letters.
Okay.
And they were quite threatening, and they were accusing her of having an affair with the superintendent of schools in the area.
Oh, Jesus. Ooh. Okay.
They were sex letters.
Yeah, so the writer of the letters, hang on, I'll read the first one. Stay away from Mossy, who is the name of the superintendent. Don't lie when questioned about knowing him. I know where you live. I've been observing your house and know you have children. This is no joke. Please take it serious.
Bloody hell.
Everyone concerned has been notified and everything will be over soon. So it was this sort of like pious, you're having an affair, you must stop it.
Did they spell definitely with an A?
Definitely.
It was also, no, it's all spelled right. It said, please take it serious instead of seriously. Yeah, also, they didn't give themselves enough to write observing, so they had to put the hyphen and then carry on the next
observing.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's broken. Did you write these letters, Suze?
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Oh. And I wrote defiantly instead of definitely. For some reason, it autocorrected as I wrote it.
The old 1970s autocorrect. Oh.
Yeah.
Those haunted pens.
Bloody things.
Did you mean... No, I didn't mean that.
Biro, by no. Carry on, Chris. I want that pun stricken from the record.
You want that pen stricken from the record?
Oh.
Come on.
Gouge his own eyes out, pops them out of skull, throws them in bin.
The writer had said all of this stuff that...
I've caught you.
Supposedly knew about the affair, yeah. It was postmarked Columbus in Ohio, but there was no return address, obviously, because that had been done.
Yeah.
They were by Chris Columbus, the director of Home Alone.
Within 8 days, she got another letter.
Okay.
She kept them to herself until her husband, Ron, he received one as well.
Ron Gillespie. Ooh.
And the letter then put the onus on Ron, actually. And the letter said, if you don't stop your wife's affair, your life will be in danger.
So wait, wow. So as soon as he read one of them, then they started getting addressed to him?
And it all seems a little bit like, that's really weird. Why does this person care about this bus driver's supposed affair?
Yeah.
Which she denied. It was like, I don't know why all these letters are showing up.
I'm just an ordinary bus driving lady.
You gotta believe me, Ron. Yeah.
But the thing is, with a school superintendent and a bus driver, like, I found it hard not to imagine it being Otto and Chalmers. So yeah, then it was like, Ron, if you don't stop your wife's affair, your life will be in danger. After 2 weeks of this, the writer threatened to go public with the affair and threatened to broadcast it on TVs, CB radios and advertising billboards.
Wow, this person has a lot of money and time.
And also like a vendetta against Mary. Yeah. And Ron, it sounds like. But anyway, Mary and Ron told only three people about the letters. Mm. Ron's sister, her husband Paul, and then Paul's sister as well. So those were the only three people they told about the letters. Anyway, Mary started to suspect.
Yeah.
She's not an idiot.
Who it was that was sending the letters. Right. And so as a group, they decided to hatch a plan.
Hmm.
So they decided to get Paul, who was Ron's brother-in-law, to write a letter to the suspect claiming, we know who you are.
How big is Circleville? Because if this is similar size to the place I grew up, pretty much you figure it out sooner or later.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it says here that Circleville's actually a city. But it could have achieved city status.
It's got a cathedral.
It's
got a football team and a cathedral.
Oh, I wish I'd done this beforehand. I've just found out that the city is best known today as the host of the Circleville Pumpkin Show, an annual festival held since 1903.
We should have opened with that.
Yeah.
This is so fucking wholesome. And Matt's wearing a
Jack Skellington
Nightmare Before Christmas
jumper.
So he could have been like, Pumpkinville, you say?
The mayor of... See, Circleville is also sounds like the name I would lazily name a Sim City. Like, I'd be like, Circleville? That sounds like a fucking place.
So it's 7 square miles.
Yeah.
And it has a population of, as of 2019, 14,000.
That's hardly any. That's not a city.
It is already
that's
more successful than any of my Sim City cities.
You should have seen my Hytopia that ran for a whole year.
Hytopia? Oh.
Is that before you just gave into legalized gambling and then destroyed it with an alien invasion? Because that's usually what I did.
We got overpopulated. The services were doing pretty bad, actually, at their jobs. So we just sent a Godzilla through it. we needed something for the people to unite behind, guys.
Oh, I didn't know this game was so silly. I thought you had to run a city.
Well, you do, and then but then also you're tempted by all of the disasters, which you can literally have happen at any time.
Make them happen.
There's a drop menu. There's a drop down menu. They made me sign orders with a stamp. Okay, a stamp.
Masood, are you okay? They made me sign it with a stamp. I'm responsible.
Did you retire from SimCity to go and run Stardew Valley?
This is exactly why. Because I was
like, I need to get away from the city.
Shame as a mayor.
I would love to watch a film of you returning to your SimCity city after 20 years to see how they remembered you.
Yeah, like going like tarred and feathered, dragged through the streets like an animal. Yeah,
like Tron, but people. Going into SimCity as the old man.
Going up to people and going like, hello, do you remember Masood Miles? And they turn away like the adults in It.
We ain't heard that name before.
There was a Masood. Never speak of him. Never speak of him.
There's an old billboard. It's got like an advert for an energy drink, but it's peeling off. And then you can see your election.
And he's
just
got...
looking over it. And it's you going...
Yeah, like
and the eyes follow you wherever you go.
There's a kid at high school who's they've just got onto something fishy because there's 2 years missing out of the records.
Yeah. It's North Havenbrook from The Simpsons with the monorail town.
They never blamed you. They never blamed you. They were like, who could have predicted a Godzilla attack?
A tidal wave, Godzilla, and wildfires in the same 5 minutes. Yeah,
but there is some truthers out there, and they've got a Xerox of the signed order where you employed Godzilla. Like you've got Godzilla's invoice. Signed by you that says paid.
Yeah.
And it's all about to come out from the suit.
There's a bunch of kids at the high school and they're like, do you ever wonder why our parents won't talk about what happened between 2008 2009? Don't you ever wonder? And there's one kid who's like, I don't care. And he walks away and they're like, and later on they're having an urgent meeting and they're like, we can't do it without Christoph's catapult. And then Christoph shows up and he's like, did somebody say they needed my catapult?
Oh, yeah.
And he's there for the final showdown. They
have a meeting and they're going, I don't know what's so special about this site. It's just the old crater. But then it pans up and it's a Godzilla footprint.
Yes.
The director hires a drone.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, got it from Amazon. It was cheap.
I want this movie to be made.
It's gonna be big. That's the tagline.
It's gonna be big.
Yes.
It's gonna
Circleville. Everything comes around.
Oh, that's very good.
I like
good.
That a lot.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So they sent a letter back to... They figured out.
Yeah,
potentially.
Yeah, and then apparently this seemed to work because the letter stopped.
Oh.
On August the 19th, 1977, Ron received a phone call from the writer of the letters.
What?
Bloody hell. He ramped up to phone calls.
Yeah.
And this made Ron realise, oh no, I think I know. No, it is who I thought was writing the letters because he recognised the voice.
Right.
Yeah.
He grabbed his gun.
What?
It's America.
He left in his pickup truck. Even though the writer apparently on the phone claimed to have been watching the truck. And a few minutes later, Ron was found dead.
What the fuck?
In his pickup truck. crashed into a tree.
Oh my god, this is not where I saw
this.
This
is totally not where I thought this was going to go.
Now, if you remember, the original letters were like, make sure your wife's not having an affair anymore, otherwise you're going to end up dead. Ron ends up dead.
Fuck. So she must still be having this affair. Holy shit.
She's a bang bitch.
He was found dead in his pickup truck, crashed into a tree, which implies an accident, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Investigators, when they were there, they determined that Ron had fired at least one shot from his gun before crashing.
He hated that tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone considered this is a supernatural element? Like, you have to break the curse by stopping your wife's affair. Otherwise,
oh. Yeah, like The Ring, but with more with wife cheating.
Yeah,
yes.
more analog, even more analog than videotape.
Even more analog.
Wow. Yeah, that's my running theory. He fires fires one shot at the spirit, it disappears. Yeah. Then you just see a silhouette in the back of the truck, and
it freaks him out, and then he crashes. Yeah,
yeah.
So a guy named Radcliffe. The sheriff, Dwight Radcliffe.
Yeah.
He ruled the death an accident. And he said he lost control while he was drunk. Because it turns out his blood alcohol level was 0.16, which is twice the legal limit was at the time.
But that's like 2 pints.
It's
it's twice the legal limit, but it's not blind drunk.
No.
Yeah. It's
like how people always talk about Amy Winehouse. When she was found dead, they found her blood alcohol was 4 times the legal limit. And you're like, well, that's less than 4 pints of cider. I can polish that off in about an hour.
And also, there is no legal limit when you're at home not driving.
Well, exactly, yeah. It was like salacious newspaper garbage.
Also, that Amy is really Winehouse weird. Chat. So is you back in the chat rooms, are you, mate? And the thing is about it, when they found her...
sends them private messages going, see you coming.
You shitheel. I'm like, they don't like Taxi Driver either.
So strange.
Yes, so the family were really surprised because they were adamant that Ron had not been drinking when he left.
Okay. Oh, I see.
You could be a secret drinker. I'm not going to say that he clearly... But anyway, they were like, well, whoever's done the investigation is lying. He wasn't drunk.
Right.
So then they threw doubt on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ron was dead at this point.
Shit.
So... guess what then happened with Mary?
Had an affair.
She was having an affair.
But she then did start a relationship with that school superintendent.
Oh, shit.
But they were adamant. They were adamant that it didn't start until after the letters were sent.
Okay, this is nuts. What the hell?
This is ridiculous.
What's going on here, Mary?
We weren't thinking of having an affair, but then everyone kept talking about it, and we just thought, why not?
Yeah.
I mean,
everyone thinks we're doing it, we might as well.
This letter guy obviously thinks we're up to something, so let's boom.
Are we doing this, superintendent?
Yeah, hands on each other's faces, like, what are we doing?
What are we doing has somehow become probably the funniest line in film history now. It's like,
after Palm Springs.
Oh, that's so
funny.
Well,
it's in Rick and Morty as well.
I've seen that, it's so good.
What's in?
It's in Rick and Morty as well.
Yes, it is.
With Sleepy Gary. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What's the original film?
It's in a few things. I'm not sure what...
It's definitely a reference.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's...
I saw it in Palm Springs because Andy Samberg goes, oh, and I had sex with your dad. And the girl goes, what? And it just cuts to like... They're about to kiss Peter Gallagher and Andy Samberg, and Peter Gallagher goes, what are we doing? He goes, nah, I'm just kidding. We didn't.
He's got such a perfect voice for that, though, is it?
It's really like, you know, when a new movie comes out, like a new movie, and instantly you're watching it and you're going, I can watch this again and again and again. Like, it's really rare that I get, that now I'll watch a movie and I'm like, huh. It was good.
Mm.
And then I might rewatch it again like years later.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm going to watch Palm Springs again before the month is out.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Love and Monsters. Love and Monsters as well. That was one of those
I haven't watched Love and Monsters.
Bloody loved it. It's just like a really good old school type film. But it's just great.
I'm going to watch it.
I don't want to say too much. It's just great.
Okay.
Yeah,
we watch something.
I'll give it a go.
It's
because Matt knows what he's talking about.
He knows,
you know,
movies.
What I mean? Like, it's not somebody in the office saying, "Oh, you should watch this." Because then
tell you
go,
what's bloody great. Sure. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw that Nomadland. Didn't see the point of it. It's just some woman driving around.
You know, at one point she shits in a bucket. I don't
think so. I tell you that off topic. If lockdown has accelerated one thing, is dog shit opinions on films.
Oh, we talk about this all the time.
It's certainly a bugbear of mine, and I force it onto Masood and Suze at every opportunity. I don't know whether you share it, Matt, but this idea that nothing can be fine. It either has to be brilliant or the biggest piece of shit you've ever seen. You can't have 6 out of 10 anymore. You can't have, it was all right.
I like that. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
We watched a perfect 6 out of 10 movie last night. The Sandra Bullock box office bump known as Premonition.
How dare you say that?
Why did you choose to watch that?
Well, it's a proper 6 out of 10. But like, what's really great about the film is, I'm going to ruin it for you because don't watch it. But basically, Sandra Bullock has a premonition that her husband dies, and then like the film, she lives a week out of sequence because her husband dies on Wednesday. But she like,
who chose this? Who was like?
Oh no, Sarah did.
Sarah's like, this is my favorite movie.
Well, every now and again, Sarah and I will watch 90s thrillers, but we'll also watch what we consider 2000 garbage fests. But those are like proper 6 out of 10s from the 2000s, because they're perfectly fine. This is another thing that happens when you have kids. I think your brain, you like to watch good stuff and you don't have time for super crap, but you have time for like total wash over wave, like
gotcha,
like nothing movies, which Premonition was.
I'm not gonna feel angry if I waste my time on this.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I think you're doing, which I really like? You're rewinding back to the era of the video shop.
Yes.
Where once you pick a film and you'd have to just choose one.
Yeah. And you just
and then you'd have to watch it. You'd have to watch it.
And you'd have to watch it three times because you've only got 24 hours.
Yeah, you've got your weekend. Yeah.
Do you remember when videos used to come out to rent before you could buy, and some video shops used to sell X rentals?
Oh yeah.
Before they came out.
Yes.
The X rental
to buy
box.
On video.
Yeah. Oh my.
Yeah.
They all loved the X rental box.
Have you guys got Disney Plus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they've got Star on there.
Yeah.
It's pretty much everyone's DVD collection from about 2004. Like if you go through the titles.
That's a great way of putting it.
Pretty much everything you remember from like about 2003 to about 2006 in your DVDs.
Oh, man.
Like all those films that never sort of lasted a set of time, but you're like,
Oh, yeah. Swordfish. I remember that film.
Yeah. That was the exact DVD I was thinking of.
Swordfish?
Oh. Sometimes you just get bought a DVD for Christmas.
Yeah.
Based on nothing. You just...
Yeah. Like, oh, I own this now, do I?
And what was... Yeah, that was it. It's
That's how I saw Jerry Maguire. I was 14 and someone bought me Jerry Maguire for Christmas.
And that was
like, I guess I have this
The
now.
Person buying it is like, it was a fucking lucky dip, wasn't it? You'd be like, open the thing, you're like, it's a DVD. It's Swordfish.
The first DVD I owned, so I bought a PlayStation 2 and it was in a deal where you got like, I think it was 30 quid's worth of DVDs from a range.
So that was two DVDs, right?
Well, the
one and a half.
The Rocky box set was in there.
Yeah.
And then I had about 6 quid left. So I was like, what am I going to get? I took a chance on Juice Bigelow, male gigolo, guys.
Oh, man.
What a absolute
awful.
I tell you what, if you watched the Rocky films in order and then Juice Bigelow, you'd be like, Juice Bigelow's not bad.
I like to slip it in between better. three and four, actually. So it's canon.
Juice Bigelow 3 and 4.
Oh. Rock, you can't go on this date. You just don't have the skills.
Oh, man.
That'd be a great cinematic universe.
When I was 18, I went on a date. We went to Pizza Express, me and this guy who I'd been in a play with at college. And he said, well, my mum's away. Do you want to rent a video? And it was a video.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, because it was 2003. We rented Juice Bigelow, Male Gigolo. And I watched the whole of Juice Bigelow, Male Gigolo on a date.
No.
And then
did you drive
stayed
home?
Over.
No.
And nothing happened.
Oh.
Your impression of your 18-year-old self makes me think, what the fuck happened? Like
okay.
The fact that that's how you spoke when you were 18.
Okay.
Sounds fine.
Hello, I'm just a Victorian child who's lost. I'm 18 year old.
I suppose, not nothing happened. We kissed, and that was it, because that is how hot he found me. I think it was a sympathy kiss.
Did you kiss and then he gave you a price list of anything extra because he'd watched Chief Bigelow of Male
Chief? He said, thing. You're going to have to pay up if you want my mangina. That's awful. That film is terrible.
It's not a good film.
Hi, Mum. Can I borrow some money? I know you lent me some for the video.
18 as well. And then he drove me back home the next morning in his Fiat Uno. Anyway, sorry, Circleville.
So they start going out after the death of Ron.
Yeah, Mary and the superintendent acknowledge they're in a relationship, but were adamant. Oh, no, this happened after the letters.
This
happened after Ron's dead.
And her husband's dead.
Yeah, likely bloody story.
So in 1983, ooh. So this is 7 years after the first letter, mm. 6 years after Ron died, Mary's still a bus driver. She's driving a bus, and along her bus route, there are threatening signs placed on the road by the writer of the letters.
Oh, God.
Threatening her while she's driving the bus.
That's mad. I mean, I love it if, because other people drive that route, so they'd see that as well and be like, yeah, what the fuck is this?
You aren't going to believe what happened.
Okay.
Because she got so, like, obviously she's driving along. It's like 6 years later, it's still fucking happening.
Oh, my God.
On my bus route, he knows my bus route. She stopped the bus, got out, and went to rip down one of the signs.
Yeah.
When she did, there was a booby trap designed to kill her.
No, fuck off.
What?
The trap had a box which contained a small gun. So if she'd pulled the sign a certain way, the gun it would have pulled the trigger and the gun would have fired. Right.
Fucking hell.
Down the other signs, there is a blowtorch, a set of paint cans.
What I'm saying is that this is Home Alone.
A nail on a step on her.
A nail on a plank.
We weren't a million miles away when we were talking about.
Yeah, she was like, hey, letter writer, pick up all your little micro machines. I stepped on one earlier and nearly broke my neck.
Because there was a gun in the booby trap.
Yeah.
They were like, guns are traceable.
Yeah.
And the serial number had been, like, they tried to get rid of it, but not very well. And lab tests were able to get the number out. They found out who the gun belonged to.
Oh.
And the gun belonged to Paul, Ron's brother-in-law.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
Okay. He'd recently, by this point, he'd recently separated from Ron's sister.
Right.
Ooh.
But he was like, oh no, the gun was stolen.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Paul.
So then the sheriff, it's the same sheriff as like 6 years before, he asked Paul to do a handwriting test.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. Because he's like, oh, he thinks I've written the letters. Yeah. If I did write the letters, I'll do different handwriting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a beautiful cursive.
After the test, Paul took the sheriff to his garage, showed him where he kept his gun. Then they went to the courthouse where Paul was promptly arrested and charged with attempted murder.
Okay.
In October of 1983, he went on trial for the attempted murder of Mary. Mm-hmm. He was never charged with writing the letters.
Yeah.
But the letters were used as evidence against him in the court case.
Okay.
And a handwriting expert testified he'd written the letters.
Mm.
And then Mary herself testified that she believed that he was the writer.
Right.
After his own ex-wife had come to her saying, I think Paul wrote the letters.
What?
Paul's boss testified that he wasn't at work on the day that the booby trap was found.
Okay.
Right.
Like, no, Paul wasn't in that day. But then Paul did have another alibi. It doesn't say what.
Yeah.
He never defended himself. He never took the stand. He never testified.
Well, that's weird. Why
I just imagine Paul on the side of the road, kind of like Wile E. Coyote, waiting for the roadrunner, like set up that it's like an Acme booby trap sign box. And it's like, aha.
He was the camera, like, hee hee.
It's a big gambit, isn't it? That
she'll take it
only
down.
Only going to attract her.
One person. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Imagine
what is this? Does it say what the sign it said?
Yeah, what did it say on the signs?
She saw a sign that accused her daughter of having a relationship with the superintendent. So
they were accusing
her daughter of having a relationship.
They determined this superintendent's a studly boy.
Yeah. And now you said Chalmers.
I'm imagining Superintendent Chalmers.
Yeah. Although Super Nintendo Chalmers. Yeah. Yeah.
Although Superintendent Chalmers, I imagine, is pretty cut.
He's built. He's got that
guy.
Perfect V.
Yeah. Oh, like Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Cut to Masood with him. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? I say that's what I'm like in relationships, but whenever me and a boyfriend have sex, I go, what are we doing? They're like, we've been together for years. What are you talking about?
You do it in the quizzical Scorsese voice.
What are we doing?
I saw you coming. Huge fucker, you shouldn't be. Susan, a relationship.
So that's probably why they were like, oh, well, it'll be her that tears the sign down, because it's her daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was on her bus route as well. It was designed for her to see it. So Paul never testified to defend himself. Mm-hmm. He did say that he was innocent elsewhere, but despite that, he was convicted. He was given a 7 to 24 year sentence.
Oh, Jesus.
Blimey.
Oh, attempted murder.
He went to jail for it. Yeah, so then you think, oh, why are you telling me this? It's a mystery, cut and dried. While in prison, he started getting letters from the writer.
He got letters. Holy shit.
Yeah, determined to keep him in prison.
So you better stay in prison.
Yeah. Others kept getting letters while he was in there.
Jeez.
And they were postmarked from the same place, Columbus.
Yeah.
And Paul was in prison. And get this, Paul was in solitary confinement, but the letters still kept coming.
That's fucking crazy.
In December 1990, he became eligible for parole. He was denied parole due to the letters, even though there was no way that he could have been writing them.
That's mad.
He was finally paroled in 1994, and he continues to maintain his innocence, and the author of the letters has never been discovered.
Oh, my God.
Fuck? See, okay.
What was if Paul was really clever and he paid someone off before he went into prison, just said, send one of these every week.
Yeah,
it'll get me out of prison, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
When did the letters stop?
Well, he came out of prison in 1994. There is a weird footnote to this story as well, because it was covered in... So you know Unsolved Mysteries that's just come back on Netflix?
Yeah.
Well, it was an original sort of series of a totally different format through, I think, the 90s and the early 2000s. Yeah. Unsolved Mysteries did an episode on this, and while they were doing it, the letter writer wrote them a letter.
What?
Okay, you're kidding.
And it said, forget Circleville, Ohio. Do nothing to hurt Sheriff Radcliffe. If you come to Ohio, you El Sickos will pay.
El Sickos?
Signed the Circleville writer.
See, in my head, my I imagine that they just didn't stop coming. And then, like, you know, you'd go to your mailbox and be like, okay, let's see here. Bills.
Yeah.
Oh, one from the Circleville writer. Bills.
Paul actually passed away in 2012.
Right.
He maintained his innocence
up until then,
the whole time.
Yeah, well, he didn't do it, that's why.
And Paul's then the letters kept coming.
That's the whole story of the Circleville letters.
Yeah. I think...
Because, this is what I mean. To go back to what I said, I only ever knew about it that a bus driver got some threatening letters.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, not interested. And then when I started reading it, I was like, oh, and then he dies.
It's nuts.
Like, yeah, that's fucking
Oh, and then... There's a booby-trapped
sign.
The booby-trap.
The booby-trap is the real, like... Because also, to set a booby-trap on a sign for a specific person, but then to also go, I'll rig a gun up.
Yeah.
It's some real...
It is proper, like, Home Alone.
Unless it was designed to scare rather than kill, because, bearing in mind, it did not kill her.
Yeah.
No.
And it was... So maybe it was only ever set up to be like, holy shit, rather than... But then Ron ended up dead.
Yeah.
Which could have been an accident, but... And then it was a coincidence that the letters initially were threatening to kill him.
Yeah.
And then he ended up dead, because he was careless and angry.
Yeah, and he was driving possibly erotically. A little drunk, yeah.
Why have you put this in the statement? That's not what I said.
He said erratically. I know, mate, but you've got an accent.
Yeah,
it sounded... He was driving erotically.
Erotically. How does one drive erotically? I don't know.
I don't know, with their dick. I don't know.
I think if you saw someone driving with their dick, I think that would be up with the least erotic images you'll ever see.
Yeah.
It's like that bit in Bridesmaids where John Hamm's like, look who's driving, look who's steering.
Yeah, because you'd see somebody driving, you think, are they driving with their dick? But the face would be such concentration.
Little tongue, yeah.
I think they are driving. I think, you know, yeah,
well,
I imagine
all
that,
the picture
know.
Now is the dick just holding the wheel with its end.
Curved over.
And for some reason wearing a little trilby. Horrible.
So I reckon it was someone in the family, but I don't know who yet. I haven't decided. Because I feel like it's a surviving family member who did it. But I just don't know who.
Do you think like Matt suggested, that it was Paul and then somebody else carried
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah, like it was Paul to begin with. And then, yeah, someone, because it's not that difficult to carry that on, is it?
Yeah. The only thing that I don't understand is motive. It's like...
Yeah.
It's like, this is so weird to go after
Mary the bus driver.
It's Circleville,
Ohio. It's, there's, yeah, yeah, that's
not
the
much
motive.
Going on.
Yeah.
Pre-internet, pre-blockbuster.
Was it Superintendent married?
That's a good question.
To a bitch who wrote you out of letters.
That seems like where it would come from. Like, if someone's angry at Mary...
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, because actually you're right. Mary was the target of it.
Well, because my feeling is that Mary was having this affair.
Yeah, but so yeah. If Mary was the target of it and not the superintendent, but also after Mary became the target, so was Ron. So it was obviously somebody that wanted this affair to end.
Mm. Yeah,
Mary didn't do the right thing. So then they were like, "Well, I'm going to tell the husband, and the husband had better do something about it."
What about Mary's sister?
What's her name, Mary?
Gillespie, but it's spelt slightly differently. If you're looking for her, just Google the Circleville letters and then it'll come up.
Circleville letters. I want to see her because I think she looks like Mary Steenburgen in my head.
It's this big old scandal in Circleville, Ohio, but it's still, I mean, as we know, Circleville is only famous for the Circleville Pumpkin Festival.
This is true.
Quite rightly so. It's a very good pumpkin festival.
It's of the sort of that belt of states, that's the best one there.
Yeah. There's the showy festivals, but what I like about the Circleville Festival is it knows what it is. It's,
exactly.
It's an old-fashioned...
I tell you, it's better than the Squareville Festival. Yeah, those fuckers.
The Squareville Squash Festival.
Yeah. They're not even pumpkins. God, I hate Circleville
so
much.
Small. Oh, I found her. There she is. She's a fox.
Is she?
Is she? She's like... Small town fox. She looks like the kind of woman who could have any man she wanted who was sad.
Dwight Radcliffe, it turns out he's the longest serving sheriff in US history.
Bloody hell.
Dwight Radcliffe was the sheriff of Pickaway County, Ohio from 1965 to 2013.
That's insane. That's 50 plus years.
He was, it's 48.
48 years.
He was first elected in 1964 and he was re-elected 12 times. He is most famous for serving as the sheriff for the entirety of the Circleville letters mystery. All efforts to resolve the mystery during his tenure proved fruitless.
Because of him, because he's useless.
Yeah. He died in hospital on May the 6th, 2020, at the age of 87.
Aww. Okay. He retired only when he'd made too many mistakes, and they were like, why don't you just play fucking golf?
Yeah. Just get out of here, damn it.
I'm just looking at a picture of one of the letters.
Yeah.
You see the writing?
It's not the writing I expected.
No, it's like writing that's deliberately printed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if someone said to me, write in the style that you imagine an old school coin-operated arcade to be, like an arcade game.
Yes.
That's the sort of font I would image.
Yes.
100%. That's totally it.
So, yes. Thank you, Matt,
Thank you, Matt. Matt, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
It's all right. No, just, you know, just if you've got a second, maybe pick up the phone and call someone you love and say hi. If you take anything from this podcast, I think the power of a good old-fashioned written letter.
Yeah.
I'm going to send my nan a letters and tell her to stop having an affair with the superintendent.
And the power of a booby trap. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
A good old fashioned gun behind the sign booby trap. That's what today's world's missing.
Yeah. I would love to see that person setting that booby trap because I imagine they've gone full like just in overalls or something. So if someone stops them, they go, "I'm just fixing the sign." good old fashioned sign fixer.
It's some new weather sensing equipment. Oh, I see. Yeah. Nice Back to the Future.
Why have you got a gun? A lot of dangerous signs out there these days.
Risky business.
Do you want these signs to be unprotected?
It's a sign protection.
And people are like driving on like, no, of course not.
Oh, no.
Biden wants to put up a load of unprotected signs.
He does.
Cut to a sign that's just Ed 209 with a stop on its head.
I don't want the government interfering with my signs.
I said stop. You didn't stop. No, I was just edging toward it.
Well, the light is changing. You have 4 seconds to comply.
I'm driving to a tree. Anyway, we've nailed it today with all the movie references.
Yeah. Very film
all
that's
missing is a reference to Casino, so all I'm going to say is, and the eye in the sky is watching us all.
The eye in the sky is watching us all.
Masood's mum, of course.
and now it's an episode. It's a full episode. We have my mum.
Now it's in it. Yeah, it's now we're Mystery on the Rocks. We've had it. We ticked Mystery on the Rocks bingo.
Well, house.
Mystery on the Rocks house. I guess I better round things off by saying you can find us. If you like this shit.
Can you do it in the style of how would 18-year-old Suze end this podcast?
Hello. If you like this and you want to hear more of it, I don't know why you would. Patreon.com/mysteryontherocks. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Mystery on the Rocks. You can email us at mysteryontherocks@gmail.com. Send us an email. Normally only PayPal does. And fit fucking see you soon, I guess. Oh, can I plug another podcast?
Of course you can.
I'm on a new musical podcast. It is a literal musical and narrative drama podcast. I keep rubbing my foot on the drawer and it's going to make a lot of annoying noise. Sorry.
Is that the podcast title?
That's the name of the podcast. It's not catchy. It's a new musical by Lawrence Owen and Lindsay Sharman at Long Cat Media. It's called The Ballad of Anne and Mary. It is about two female pirates in the 1700s who are lesbians. So check that out.
Awesome.
Is that out now?
Yeah, when is that out? Okay,
yeah,
great.
It's already out.
And all the regular podcast places, Spotify.
Yeah, The Ballad of Anne and Mary. Check it out. It's really
cool.
Good.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
It's been very fun. Thanks for having me.
We've enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
A bloody pleasure, mate. As always. Good to see you. All that's left to say now is
Boy.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.